Welcome back, everyone, to the Golden Gold Podcast. It's Spicy Bean Dip here in Legalano, my great friend. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Second episode of the new year is episode 30?
Episode 30.
And a month's worth of episodes, basically. Oh, man. 30 episodes. It's kind of a milestone, I guess.
It is. Getting shivers down my spine right now.
we've got some more Premier League footy to preview, as well as the Mickey Mouse Cup Manchester Derby. That was this week as well, Tuesday. And then Villa played Leicester as well, so we'll recap that a little bit. I think Bundesliga's back on this weekend.
I believe so.
Don't quote me on it. But we'll preview the Around the World games as well. And then we got some extra touches for you guys at the end. Should be a good one.
Indeed, man. Also, the date is January 9th. So we just want to get that out there.
Yeah, second week of the new year.
Second week of the new year.
Dude, new decade.
New decade, man. New decade, 2020. Let's get after it, though, man.
So do you, I'll ask you this, I'll give you the option. Do you want to start with United City or do you want to do the Leicester Villa game first?
Let's just
tear the band-aid off.
Just tear the band-aid off, man. It's stuck to my nipple hairs right now and just need to rip it off.
Well, on Tuesday, first leg of the semifinal. And before we get into the game, I'm just going to give a tangent about the Mickey Mouse Cup two-leg semifinal, which I think is ridiculous. We also had FA Cups games this weekend, so this kind of goes hand in hand. Why, in the most congested time of the year in the season, are we having a two-legged semifinal for probably easily the most meaningless trophy of the three, Premier League trophy, or any league trophy in England, then FA Cup, and then this one. Why are we doing two legs? And why, in 2020, it's 2020, the FA Cup has been around over 100 years, why are there still FA Cup replays? Go to penalties right away and decide it there and then.
It's just another extra game that you don't really want to play.
No.
It's so dumb. When Wolves tied Man U, I actually thought they were going to PK. I totally forgot that they do a replay.
I was like,
oh, here we go, man, PKs. And then it's like, actually, no. Now they're going to do another leg.
And EFL Cup or Carabao Cup, Mickey Mouse Cup, all the other things you can call it, they do PKs right away if the game is tied. But for whatever reason, in the semifinal, they start doing two legs. Why? So stupid.
I feel like there's like no structure to that whatsoever.
No.
The MLS playoffs is just one game now. Like why should these like league cups be two legs?
Yeah, and actually like single. I like the two legs in Champions League.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a
and
bigger
tournament. A lot of that is money as well, obviously, but MLS Cup, I like that they moved to single game elimination. I don't want to get too off topic from EFL and all that, but I like single game elimination. Tournaments should be like that, but Champions League is more of a league. Let's be honest, it's more of a league. Mm-hmm. It should be two legs. But these tournaments, FA Cup, EFL Cup, it should be single game elimination. None of these replays. And I like that you brought up the Wolves v United game because I was watching that game, and I don't know if it was Wolves or United. They brought on a striker at 0-0, try to win the game because neither of them want to play a fucking replay game. They want to go and fucking win it, so they don't got to play this fucking replay game. it's fucking silly, and it'd be different if it was, you know, maybe late in the year or beginning of the year. But here you are in the most congested time of the season, and you have all of a sudden you have all these FA Cup games, and you have the option to play these stupid FA Cup replays that. I get it. It's probably there's a little bit of money involved, more money involved for the lower league teams. Like if you get to a replay, you get to play another game, and that could mean more money for you. But like, in the grand scheme of things, it's just stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know why it's. I just feel like with in England, it's like just that schedule is really cluttered with all these different games. That's like not like all over, like are all over around the world. Like we said, like La Liga, Germany, in Italy, you know, they has like nice little break where they get to unwind, get ready for the new year. like in England, man, it's just like nonstop, and a lot of people have been injured now. I mean, Harry Kane out till April, I think. April around April. I just saw that online today. You have like, you know, I mean, United fan, we know everyone's fucking injured on United. I mean, there's just like a lot of these injuries that really hurt teams later on in bigger tournaments, like, you know, Champions League, Europa League. It's just, I don't know. To me, especially the EFL Cup, it's starting to get to a point where should it really exist?
Yeah.
You know? FA Cup, sure. That's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe tweak the rules.
Just
like you
get
said.
It rid of the replay.
But EFL Cup, man, goddamn. If we're talking about Mickey Mouse Cup,
yeah.
Boy, oh boy, is this a Mickey Mouse Cup that needs to go. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But I wanted to put that 2 cents in there because it just frustrates me. And a lot of games went to replays.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the two legs in the EFL Cup is fucking stupid. But anyway, into the actual game. United got embarrassed at Old Trafford, Theater of Memes. down 3-0 in the first half. Probably could have been
6-0.
4 or 5-0 after the first half. 6-0 total. And once again, Phil Jones and Jesse Lingard get another chance in this team.
I mean, I guess you got to really ask yourself, like, who else do they have? I guess if you start playing the youngsters.
Yeah, and I remember I texted you during this game, and I said, imagine going into a game for a competition that is literally your best chance to win a trophy in a period where there hasn't been a lot of silverware at United since Sir Alex left, and you start this team. Now, I know they have injuries and all that, and maybe their hands are a little tied, but Phil Jones, where's Twanzebe? Is Twanzebe injured?
I think he's injured, or else he definitely would have played this
game. He got injured in training? He hadn't even played.
It's been a while. Yeah, he got injured, was it before the Liverpool game? It was like a hip, something, like during warm-up? He was supposed to play, I think, and he got injured. So, Phil Jones is, since we're talking about Phil Jones, since you mentioned them, he's really fucking bad. Like, he's atrociously.
He's a walking meme.
He's a walking meme. And I saw you retweeted a video of him, like, trying to chase, was it Mahrez or something?
Yeah.
He looked like...
Actually laughable.
He looked like an idiot. Like, and he pulled a hammy or something? Yeah. He, like, pulled a hammy.
It looks like... He actually looked like when you take your kid to Park District Soccer when they're 5. And, like, they don't know, obviously, how to move and all that stuff. It's a new game to them. They don't know what they're doing. They're just kind of out there running around. That's what he looked like.
Yeah, he looked like he didn't belong there. And he makes
$100K a week, or
more, I think. He funny, actually. We talked about this in the past. He signed the contract extension about a year ago. They gave him a contract with Smalling, too.
And so yet Smalling is on loan at Roma and killing it, to be honest with you.
And Phil Jones is here,
and he's playing the Mickey Mouse Cup.
I mean, Phil Jones belongs in like a championship team or worse.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm gonna be honest. We'll talk about Man City too. I mean, they were fucking awesome. Man City were awesome this game, but Man U and Jesse Lingard, bro. Jesse Lingard has been useless, and it's getting to a point. We've been talking about this. Like, I think he belongs in a championship team. I just don't think he's a Premier League player. And just because he had like one really good season, like 2-3 years ago, does not afford him like a really nice lucrative contract that he's making right now at Manchester United and game time. You know, he doesn't. I don't think he deserves that for what he's like shown. I don't think so.
No.
Not taking anything away from him as a person or what he does, but he's just useless. I mean, no goals, no assists this year in the Premier League in 2019. Besides, like, one goal against, like, Astana or some shit like that in the Europa League. Again, this game, he just looked out of death. He doesn't really provide anything in the attack. He kind of just runs around. That midfield is very uninspiring, you know, and it's starting to get to a point, like, as a Manchester United fan, it's just really sad, man. It's really sad how bad they are. And, you know, from where, you know, it must be really hard for fans who are like 50 years old, like being like, you know, watching where United came from when they had, you know, that Cristiano Ronaldo, Van Nistelrooy, like all these great players, all these trophies, all these accolades they won, to what they are now. I mean, honestly, it's getting as bad as, like, I wouldn't say AC Milan bad, but it's like getting to a point where, since Sir Alex left 6 years ago, they've always been talking about like a rebuild, and been dumping a shit ton of money into the club, in transfers, and this is where they're at. This is what they have to show for 6 years later.
Yeah, this lineup that they rolled out with, and yeah, it's like it's pitiful, and to roll out with that, and like I said, the best opportunity, a game where it's the best opportunity for you to get into a championship game,
yeah,
to win rare silverware for this period of time with United. Even though their hands are tied, it should be a wake-up call to say, like, wow, like, we lose a few players, and, like, this is the best team that we could roll out with.
Yeah.
This squad, Phil Jones, Andreas Pereira next to Fred in the center midfield, Jesse Lingard as the cam, and then Mason Greenwood, who has a ton of potential, but he's, like, 17 years old as our striker. In a game against City, in a game that could take you to a final.
Yeah.
You're forced to play Jesse Lingard and Mason Greenwood.
It's
and Brandon Williams, who's shown good signs this year, but
I mean, they just don't have anyone. They don't have I'm telling you, man, like it's really bad. There's no depth in that squad, and people are complaining about the result, but you know, and who we're bringing. People complain, like, who's playing, like, and all this kind of stuff. Like, you know, he shouldn't be playing this or that. I mean, who else?
Yeah, this is what we have.
This is what we are. You know, we're two, three players away from injury to becoming, like, from a mid-table team to, honestly, like, a relegation team. That team that they put out today is honestly, like, lower table. It's a lower table team.
And I'm not saying they need to be as stacked as City, because no one on paper in the world, except maybe Barcelona and Bayern Munich, and a handful, and Liverpool, and a handful of others, on paper is as deep as those teams. But United, outside of maybe striker and maybe goalkeeper, I wouldn't even say striker, maybe just the goalkeeper position, they're not too deep at any position.
No, and this is a team that's supposed to be the biggest team in England.
Yeah,
which I don't even think they are anymore. I mean, arguably you could probably say City or Liverpool, to be honest. I guess in terms of just how successful they've been the past 6 years.
You should have a good enough front office, and you obviously have the money. You guys have spent it in the past. It's still there. You're one of the most profitable clubs in the world.
Yeah,
you have the money. There's no reason why you can't be too deep at least five positions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying Rodri and Fernandinho like that caliber, or Sterling and Leroy Sané when healthy, or Otamendi. Kyle Walker and João Cancelo. I'm not even saying that, but you go from that to Fred and Matic and Lindelof and Harry Maguire, and Juan Bissaka and Dalot, who hasn't even gotten minutes, like hardly ever. I mean, there's just an ocean of a gap in between, and there's no excuse for that.
No. It's coming down to just really poor owners right now. There's no direction in terms of soccer, and I mean, it's fair to say, man. Like, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but there's a realization coming now that I don't think anything's ever going to change unless there's new owners.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm going to be honest. Because, you know, how long has this club and board been talking about, like, a change and a rebuild the past 6 years, ever since Sir Alex left? And how many times we've been disappointed? I'll say the past 6-7 seasons we've been disappointed.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, now again, they're coming again. And, like, oh, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm not on this Ole train anymore.
Sorry. And you shouldn't be.
I'm not.
And there's still people who are.
There's still people who are. And you know what it is? It's because they know that it is Ole's fault. He's just not he's not meant for this job. It's too big of a stage for him. He's not meant for this job. He was totally outclassed in terms of tactics against Pep. I mean, yeah. Pep, tactics-wise, yeah. he came ready.
Yeah, so we talked. Yeah, we've talked about, obviously, United are thin at all positions and all that stuff. Now we have to talk about the tactics-wise, because he got out-coached in this game. Pep learned from his mistake when they lost a few weeks ago at home. Or was it at home, or was it at Old Trafford? I don't know. When they lost 2-1.
City. Yeah, it was at City.
It was at City, and they lost 2-1. So he learned from that, and he rolls out in the 3-5-2 false nine formation. Yeah, yeah. Or not even a 3-5-2, but he rolled out with five in the back, basically. Mm-hmm. We played with the wing backs, and he played with a false nine with Sterling. And he basically didn't allow himself to get countered, and it helped that they played outstanding in the first half and just battered them right out of the gates. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, Ole didn't make any tactical adjustments, even after the second goal went in.
No, and he doesn't have anything up his sleeve.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So the question is, so you asked why do people still believe in him? And I'll give you the answer. I know why. Because they know that he's not meant for this job. But they know if he gets fired, nothing's gonna change. Anyways, they'll still be the same team. They'll still be bad regardless of what coach comes in, because starting from the top, it's just the club's rotten.
Yeah,
it's rotten. So that's the only reason why. It's almost because it's a pity. They feel bad.
And I don't think, and that probably is the reason. But people are almost masking it.
And
pretending that's not the reason, and that they actually think, like, eventually this guy is going to deliver. But this is a guy, and yeah, I know he played for United, and that's a factor.
That's the only reason why he has a job.
Yeah, that's a factor with Arteta as well. It was a factor with Duncan Ferguson at Everton. I don't mind that. I have no problem with that anywhere in the world. But this is a guy who coached at Cardiff City
and got relegated.
Got sacked.
Yeah,
he got sacked there. I don't know if it was the year they got relegated. I don't know about. I don't really know much about his tenure there, but Cardiff City, like, dude, it does.
Then mold.
You can't make that jump like that. And in Molde in Norway. Well, I don't know which came before the other, but like, either way, you can't make that jump. You could maybe make the jump to another mid-table team in the Premier League or a lower half team. We've seen, I think, the guy at Brighton coach in Sweden. I can't remember his name. You can make that's a reasonable jump.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got them playing better this year. But you can't, to that level of a club, elite club like United, you cannot make that jump. And he clearly is proving why you cannot.
No, and you know, the way I'm looking at this, it's a very bleak future right now, because if you fire Ole, the mood around that club's gonna be really sour and bad, because like Ole did bring like positivity, the players back him. I'm saying quotes because they don't play like they do. So this board shot themselves in the foot by signing him permanently. But they should have never signed them permanently. They should have just kept them as a interim coach and then hired like an actual coach.
Yeah.
But now they put themselves in this situation where if he doesn't work out, which I'm telling you, it's like a 95% chance that he's not going to work out. They're going to have to fire him. And they fire him, that's going to be what, the fifth coach or something like that in six, 7 years? I mean, Hey man, it's time to smell the coffee, man. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really bad situation, Lee, and it's starting to turn out kind of like AC Milan.
Yeah, it really is,
because that's how AC Milan started.
That big of a fall from grace.
That's how AC Milan started. You know, they kind of started sitting out of the top four. Then these average players started coming in, and
very average players.
Just, you know, they started losing their best players. Average players started like kind of just sticking around, and then slowly but surely they just kept on getting worse and worse. And look where they are now.
That comparison, because if you look at this goes for both teams. If you look at the squad, and granted, United had perhaps the best manager in the history of managers, and Sir Alex Ferguson, at the time, which plays a big factor. But if you look at the difference between Champions League squads then in the heyday to, I can't even say Champions League for either team now, but the squads now, like, you had one or two average players, squad players, maybe three or four at the most in the 18 to 20, you know, regulars, to almost an entire starting 11 being squad players.
Yeah.
Some of these guys for AC Milan, I don't even know who they are.
No,
I like to think I have a vast knowledge of players, and I didn't even hear of some of these guys, and they're average. The Premier League, as big as it is, I mean, everyone knows who these players are in United, but they're squad players.
They're squad players, and it just, the situation just looks like a sinking ship. And when you look at it more in terms of, like, when you just sit back and look at it long term, the way it's just the club has regressed, you're starting to see this pattern every year, just kind of like a little bit worse and worse in the situation they're in. So people don't really think about that. They don't, Jesus Christ, I can't talk. People don't think about it that broadly. They don't really sit back and look at the trend that's been going on.
Yeah.
They kind of just focus on this one season.
Yeah, you got to think long term.
But if you look at it in the way this club's been trending, it's just going down. I'm a firm believer right now is that we need I think it's time for new owners, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's time for new owners.
Yeah, absolutely. So. This tie is pretty much over. Honestly, I'm not going to rule anything out. But there's no Wago rule, so that's something. Because it'd be way over if there wasn't a rule. But you have to go to the Etihad. You're going to have to score 3 goals and not allow any. I just don't see it happening.
But who knows?
But most likely this ties over. Terrible showing from United in the first leg. And then yesterday, Villa versus Leicester. Villa were up in this game for majority of the game. Iheanacho ties it up. And now we have to go to a second leg and play 2 legs for this one. Fucking stupid. Leicester pretty much played their full 11 besides Christian Fuchs, who, hey, throwback to the golden day. Golden year.
Christian
Fuchs, still around.
No Fuchs given.
No Fuchs given. Villa only had one shot in this game. So I have a hard time thinking that Leicester, even though they have to go to Villa Park, is going to squander this chance to go to a final.
Yeah.
So I'd almost bet the house that Leicester goes through.
It'd be kind of nice if Leicester wins this for them.
Yeah. It'd be huge for Villa to make a final, but I just don't see it happening.
Nah, neither do I.
But that's really all I'm going to say on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got games this weekend starting tomorrow. Go through the big ones, the biggest one being Spurs-Liverpool on Saturday.
I don't think there's any hope for Spurs.
Yeah, you want to jump into that one first?
Yeah, let's just jump into that because we'll probably, that's the one we'll talk about the longest right now. Yeah, I saw that. So this game, I just don't really think there's a lot of hope for Liverpool. I'm going to be honest with you. Just the way they've been playing.
For Liverpool or for Spurs?
Sorry. For Spurs, might be. For Spurs. With Harry Kane being gone now, Spurs are in a situation where they might need to go in the transfer window and sign the striker because this situation right now is not looking too good. The Mourinho we saw from the beginning of his first press conference, all smiley face, to what's going on now. I think it's got the window.
It only took a few games. Not going his way.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I just don't think Spurs right now are in good shape.
No, I mean, no Harry Kane, huge blow. Although last year, Lucas Moura was able to kind of pull some weight there with him on the bench, but this is a totally different situation, different coach in charge, different tactics, just a whole different state of the club than they were last year when they made a fucking Champions League final last year.
Yeah.
Two clean sheets all year. We mentioned it last week. They're tied for the least in the league. A team who is pretty defensively sound in the past, and they only have 2 clean sheets, so They ain't going to keep a clean sheet against Liverpool. But given that Harry Kane is out and Eriksen, there's whispers of him going elsewhere, which it's time. This is lining up perfectly for a classic Mourinho park the bus game.
I think so as well. I'm kind of just looking for that one chance the whole entire game to just...
Not saying it's going to work, but that's how it's lining up to be.
No, it'll probably be... I could see this being a low-scoring game just because of that, just because of the park the bus. However, though, Liverpool might can also just carve them up, too, because Jan Vertonghen, holy fuck, we've been talking about this. Really unathletic. Pairing him with Alderweireld, bro, that center-back duo is slow as molasses. They're slow.
Extremely slow, and Danny Rose is out. Lloris still out, obviously. Ben Davies is out. He's a pretty steady, fundamentally good left back who they're missing.
Agreed.
Moussa Sissoko is out, and Ndombele is also out. So, fuck, dude. You got to think how they're going to line up. They're going to line up Vertonghen and Alderweireld. They're probably going to have to play Sessegnon again as a right back.
Yep.
And then, who else? Oh, Aurier. They're going to have to play fucking Aurier again against the best wingers and fullbacks in the league.
Oh, he's just going to get exposed.
The team who has the best wing play in perhaps the world. You're going to have to play Sessegnon and fucking Serge Aurier.
Mourinho at practice is about to tell these players that he doesn't need their twin brothers right now. He needs the real them come up.
And I imagine they'll go 3-5-2 with Devens and Sanchez in there with Alderweireld and Vertonghen.
Yeah, I think so.
And then he'll play Sessegnon and Aurier as they're really not going to get forward too much unless it's on the counter against Liverpool.
Yeah.
But then they're probably going to have to play Eric Dier, sit him in front of that back line with fucking Harry Winks, who some people still think is something, but he's not. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have to play probably a false nine because they don't have a forward. So it's probably going to be Lamela or Lucas Moura.
Probably Lucas Moura. Yeah, man. Situation's not too good. It's pretty shocking, actually, how many of these teams have been really poor. It's just really starting to settle in how poor they are. But I think it should be another day in the office for Liverpool. It might be just a little bit more complicated because Spurs will probably...
Even if they don't carve them up completely, I think it's a very comfortable win.
Yeah, it could either be a very, very comfortable 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 win, depending on how lucky Mourinho's team are, if they get a chance. Yeah. But it'll be close, but I agree. Liverpool
and now, and we haven't really talked about this yet, you know, through the first half of the season, we've talked about how Liverpool last year, it was like clean sheet, clean sheet, clean sheet. In the first half of the year, they only had like 2-3. So like middle of the pack in terms of the amount of shutouts. But now, in their last like 5 games, I don't think they've allowed a goal in 5 games. So you got 5 straight league games they have not allowed a goal.
It's really
maybe
impressive.
Maybe even 6. So, shit, dude. Against a Spurs side with no striker.
You're right. When you get on a roll like that without letting any goal, what I've noticed just from, I don't know if you can contest to this as well. Like this got me thinking about when we used to play soccer. But when you go on a roll when you haven't allowed goals, you just feel like it just keeps coming next game and next game because you just get into that mentality where you're not going to let any goals in. It just almost becomes like second nature where like, you know, we're just not going to let up a goal. And I feel like Liverpool have hit that kind of stride right now in their game where they're just getting every game, they're just getting a shutout. Yeah. And it's just coming naturally now.
Yeah, I mean, we were both defenders when we played in college. Like when you get that shape down, that defensive shape, and you just
work
as everything's just well oiled and you like get on a roll like that, like you said, and you have the personnel like Liverpool do at the back. Because and the whole team as the whole defensive unit with the midfield doing the work that they do.
Oh yeah.
Shit, dude. They're just rolling.
They're just rolling right now.
On every front.
They're cruising. They're on autopilot right now. Turn on that Tesla autopilot. Yep. They're just take me to the championship. Take me to the
trophy. Only reason in the first half of the year that there was a chance that they could have dropped points in a lot of the games that they did is because they couldn't keep the clean sheets. They were leaking goals here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're winning games 2-1, 3-1, you know, yep. close games. Yep. But now they're rolling with the shutouts. There's no fucking stopping them. Mm-mm. And we've said there's no fucking stopping them for a while now, but now there's really no stopping them.
No, yeah.
And unless, God forbid, they lose a fullback or Van Dijk or Joe Gomez.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no stopping them.
Nope.
So I think they comfortably win this one. I wouldn't even be surprised if it ends up like 3-0, to be honest.
No,
do think Spurs are going to park the bus, and they'll kind of be in a situation that United was in Mickey Mouse Cup, where their hands are tied with some players that they got to throw out there. They're going to have to throw Serge Aurier out there. They're going to have to throw Ryan Sessegnon as a fullback, who is not really a fullback.
That pep talk's going to need to be real good.
Yeah. And Ryan Sessegnon's fucking 18 years old still.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one, man. So Mourinho better have some words of wisdom and inspiration ready, because, boy, are they going to
need
it.
Son pulls a, like,
Ronaldo-type.
Ronaldo-esque
type,
run, yeah. like he did a few weeks ago,
I don't see
them getting many sniffs.
No, neither do I.
But that's the highlight game of the weekend. And then we've got, let me look, Arsenal Palace, London Derby, technically. It's the early game on Saturday. Arsenal look to make it back-to-back wins. So that'll be interesting. Chelsea should win that game against Burnley, but Chelsea, you know, they've been up and down lately.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly down.
Let's see. I was going to take a look at their other games have been. So, yeah, they had that 2-0 loss to Southampton, which was shocking. They tied Brighton. Did beat Arsenal, and just they won right now in the FA Cup against Nottingham Forest. But I don't know if they've been linked with anyone in January.
Just Ake.
That would probably help, honestly, in terms of not letting up any goals. I just think that, you know, it's the same thing we've been talking about with them. You know, Mason Mount's been inconsistent now. So that's been really hindering him. I don't know what happened to Pulisic. What's been going on with him?
Well, I don't know, actually.
I don't know if you've been following his situation there. Because he was
killing
it.
He got sat for one game, yeah. like where he wasn't even in the 18, and then the next game he was and he started. So, like, that was weird.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to point out about Chelsea, we don't even have to go really into the game at all, but this year, and obviously they had that period where they were just winning,
mm-hmm.
and playing lights out, but in the recent period, it's been their veteran guys who've been kind of letting them down rather than the young guys on their team, like the Pulisics or the Mason Mounts or the Abrahams of the world. It's been Marcos Alonso, Emerson, Kurt Zouma. It's been, Pedro doesn't see the field.
No, I think his time's up.
I know a lot of Chelsea fans would prefer Reece James over Azpilicueta as the right back, but Azpilicueta is the captain, I know. It doesn't help that they don't have a steady center back pairing. Tomori has been probably their most solid defender, and he's the young one, of the youngest of the group. So it just goes to show almost that it's the veterans that are letting them down. Yeah. Whereas we thought, you know, down the stretch, their youngsters will peter out, and the older guys are gonna have to pull the weight a little bit more to get them results. But it's kind of been the other way around, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, how's I don't really know, like Ross Barkley. What's been going on?
What happened to Ross Barkley, man? I don't even know.
I don't know if you wanna. Kind of wanted to ask you about that because I remember when he was on Everton, man. He was supposed to be, you know.
Yeah.
The next big thing. I mean, he's 26 still, so he's still young, but boy, has he turned out to be very, very, very average at best.
Absolutely. I don't know what happened to him. I always thought he was a good cam at Everton. Maybe he wasn't ready for that jump to a big club like Chelsea. Maybe. But I don't know what happened to him, man. He really fell off. I think it would help them a ton if they had Loftus-Cheek healthy.
True.
But Ross Barkley, I would not be surprised if he's let go in the offseason. He's only played in 6 games. I imagine those are all substitute appearances.
Yeah, yeah.
And, good shout. I actually forgot about him.
Yeah, I know. I heard Giroud's supposed to leave for Inter.
That's, perhaps. I've always thought Giroud is such...
I think...
Blah.
I think Chelsea are going to... they're going to need to kind of rebuild for sure. They're going to need to get rid of a lot of, like, dead weight as well, like your Ross Barkley's. Your fucking... Drinkwater still part of...
Drinkwater actually just signed for Aston Villa.
Oh, he signed for Aston Villa.
Yeah, actually this week, a couple days ago.
Because I remember he was on Chelsea also. Never mind that, but...
Well, he was originally loaned to Burnley, and then I don't know what happened.
Burnley took him or something?
I don't
something,
know if Burnley bought him, and now he's at Aston Villa or loaned to Aston. I don't know what happened. He got in a bar fight not too long ago last year. And he was, like, actually hurt himself, and he was out for a while. I don't know what happened, but, yeah, he's at Aston Villa now, I think, on loan.
Okay.
But...
Yeah, just you know, I don't know. Their players or senior players are just getting very old, and, you know, they're kind of average. And I think their younger players are, yeah, you're right, they've been a lot better because they're more exciting, they have more talent. I just think they definitely need to, you know, I mean, in January and especially in the summer, they need to... sign some more experienced players to mesh well with these younger guys. But I think they should take care of business against Burnley.
They've got I think so too. They've got a lot of nice young pieces. So, like, if they keep the core of their young group, so, like, the Tomori, the Reece James, the Pulisic, obviously, Mason Mount, Abraham, and then, Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yep.
And then they keep Kovacic and Jorginho and Kante. And then they kind of retool at the back there. They need new fullbacks, almost all of them.
Rudiger, I mean, if he stays healthy, he could be good.
They need, I don't know if Mason Mount going forward is going to be your number 10.
Might need to, you might need to still sign someone.
Yeah,
probably.
Might need to at least go look.
Yeah.
I imagine Batshuayi, even though I think he's a good striker, will probably be going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know Aston Villa is looking at him right now, but I think he wants to be the guy. I don't think he wants to play second fiddle.
Agreed.
So they may need to look at another striker because Giroud, I'm sure, will be gone. And then Pedro and Willian. Willian's been okay this year. I'm sure he could stay, but I imagine Pedro will be gone as well. So they've got...
some areas to fill.
Yeah, lots of areas to fill for sure, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've obviously got an army on loan, I'm sure, still.
They still have their pickings from the youngsters. Yeah. They could just be another Ajax.
Yeah, honestly. That's true. And then Ancelotti and Everton against Brighton, Leicester, Southampton. Southampton on a roll right now. That could be a good game.
Yeah.
Danny Ings is just...
killing it.
Killing it. Scoring goals like it's no one's business. Norwich and United... And then tomorrow is actually Sheffield West Ham. I think that could be a kind of a good game.
Yeah.
And then City play Villa on Sunday, and Watford played Bournemouth. That's a huge game at the bottom of the table. Yeah. Watford, Bournemouth.
Yep.
Any of those games you want to break down? You want to break down the United game at all, or have you had enough of United?
No, I've had enough of United. I mean, the only thing I have to say is United have not won their last 3 games. So that's kind of really. You know, not the best form to go into this game, but it's at home. So, if you can't beat Norwich, if they lose the Norwich at home, I think they should just sack Ali right after they lose.
Norwich dead last right now.
If you can't get a win at home against this Norwich team, we're looking at some problems, buddy. We got Houston, we have a problem. So that's all I really got to say about that one. Wolves Newcastle, real quick. I think it'll be an interesting matchup because Wolves, like we said, they tend to be pretty shit against the lower table teams.
And yeah, but Newcastle is Newcastle's really battered right now.
I know they are battered.
Listen to all these injuries. Alan St. Maxim, who's actually been one of their more exciting players this year, Kieran Clark, Fabian Schär, Lascelles, Manquillo, Jetro Willems, Paul Dummett, and Muto.
Yeah, they have a lot, actually.
They have basically a whole 11 out. And they're shit at the back. I'm going to look at their form. I don't think they've won in... They tied Rochdale at the FA Cup over the weekend. And then lost to Leicester, lost to Everton, lost to United. They've lost 3 of their last 4. They're not in good shape, and now they have all these injuries to deal with. And yes, Wolves are bad against the bottom 10, but
this should be comfortable
for them, you would think. Yeah. They've had a week off. They hadn't had to play in the EFL, and they don't have any significant injuries, really, without Willy Bolly's got a broken ankle. That's hurt them at the back. Mm-hmm. They haven't had as many shutouts as they did last year.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Southampton-Leicester game. I know it's going to be on gold, and we're not going to get to watch it, but I kind of like that game. I kind of like Southampton for maybe stealing a point in that game.
Yeah.
In their current form, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have to see. I don't know. With Leicester, this game will definitely show if they have enough. I mean, obviously the league's over, but they have enough momentum to solidify a top four spot.
Yeah.
Because, I think they're pretty much safe to say that they're gonna get through in the top four, but I'm just talking about building up, building up confidence to be able to do this again next year. So this is what they're building towards, like this year.
Correct.
Can we keep on being consistent enough and keep the players we have now to do even better next year, to maybe even compete for the title? So, for them, it's these games are all important. Because
next offseason, I think Leicester could take a huge leap forward in terms of bringing in even more talent, which they have a very talented team right now, or,
backwards.
Go back to where they were last year.
If they lose all their players.
I don't know if they'll lose players, but if they don't strengthen their side and everyone else around them does,
then they're gonna
fall behind. They're gonna fall back to an eighth, ninth, tenth place
team. Yeah, I agree. That's the issue. Those kind of teams that have that kind of success, they don't try to build on it.
Yeah.
They kind of just stay like that. And then once, if you kind of just stay stagnant, then the really good players you have in your team want to leave because they don't see any ambition here.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah. So this, it's definitely Leicester. If they really want to be one of those big clubs, I think they're going to really need to start investing, every year, not just kind of hoping that, this year they get a really good group of players and can do something with it and just let them go. So that's why I think, this game is important for them to just show that they can actually hang, that they can ball pretty much.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah.
So then around the world, a couple notable games. In Serie A, 3 good games on Saturday. Cagliari, who's been a surprise this year, they play AC Milan, the lowly AC Milan. Napoli, Lazio, and Inter Atalanta. Those are all teams at the top of the table. And then on Sunday, Juve Roma. All 4 of those games,
ooh,
all top of the table teams.
Juve Roma. That one gets me a little hard.
Yeah. A little half chub.
Real quick, I don't know.
I guess Bundesliga is not back, by the way.
Yeah, we can. Oh, it's not? I kind of wanted to talk a little bit Serie A. We don't need to get into it crazy because I know we'll have that. Jerry Mancini guy.
Yeah,
he's going to come on our podcast next week. He's a big Serie A guy. He blogs for them, I believe, rightly?
Yeah. So
we'll have him on. So we'll talk
more
Serie A.
We're going to have a big Serie A segment actually next episode.
But, how it's looking right now, I think Liverpool looking nice. Or not Liverpool, Jesus Christ.
Inter?
I mean, Inter. I was thinking of a Liverpool player. That's
like, Javi, you're sitting in the obvious here.
No. I was thinking of a Liverpool player right now. I mean, Inter, they're looking real nice right now.
Yeah, they're tied for first technically, but they got the goal difference in their favor. But
I just feel Inter just keep winning though. They don't look like they're ever gonna let up.
No.
And Juve, on the other hand, I wouldn't say they look shaky, but I don't know. I don't really like Sarri too much as a coach. I just feel like the players he has around him, like the Ronaldo doesn't fit a Sarri type player.
Yeah, I feel like, God, his name is escaping me. Who was the Juve coach for all the years? What's his name? Can't think of his name. That
Allegri?
They won all the titles with.
Allegri?
Allegri, yeah. Allegri. I feel like Allegri doesn't get enough credit for what he was able to, because he never won a Champions League and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't get enough credit for doing what he did in the league for so long. They've won like 5 or 6 straight years.
No, I know.
It's
incredible. Look, and look at them now. They don't look like
they're dominant. Part of that is due to the other teams not catching up. But this year, because Inter last year were pretty good. Years before that, they were kind of shaky. They just didn't have all the pieces. But this year, man, they have all the pieces. They have a really good coach in Conte. This could be the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're playing like it can be, too.
They're playing like, yeah. And they're going to sign Ashley Young, apparently. So
yeah, that's a head-scratcher. I don't know about that.
But, I mean, knowing how Inter and how Lukaku's been doing, Ashley Young will play like a young prime Danny Alves, probably. So we'll see. Real quick with Juve, though. I don't think, you know, all these free signings that they did, like in Ramsey. I guess Ramsey's a good player, but like Rabiot and all these like free players that they got,
yeah,
hasn't really been working out in their favor. I feel like that midfield is so slow. It's so slow.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Pjanic, and they still have who's their number? Who's their number 6? Gotta look at their last game.
I mean, they got Khedira still, Jean.
That's right. They do have Khedira. Rabiot did start the last game. Yeah, they have Matuidi, who's kind of on the other side of the hill now. At the back, they're still solid. Inter actually has less goals given up this year, which has been impressive because Juventus doesn't allow a lot of goals. So the fact that Inter is so solid at the back this year, where that's kind of been a place where they've been lacking in the past, and I'm sure Jerry could give some more 2 cents when we have him on. But Inter's just always had holes, basically. And this year, they've just got a solid 11. They've got some depth. They've got 2 really good goal scorers that are in form with Lukaku and Martinez. That Martinez guy I like a lot.
Yeah.
They could really challenge this year.
They really can. I hope they do it, man. It'd be nice for a Milan team to do something because the other Milan team is doing absolute ass.
AC Milan in 12th place.
And real quick, I saw they tied Sampdoria last week, I think, 0-0.
Yeah, Zlatan made his debut.
Dude, I watched some highlights from that game, though. Boy, was it awful. Was it awful. You remember Suso?
Yeah.
I don't even know who he is. Is he Spain? I don't even know if he's from Spain or Italian.
I think so. Actually, the one time, this was 2 years ago now, once AC Milan came here on their preseason tour, he actually looks really exciting.
Yeah.
But this team is just in such bad form right now, like no one looks good.
He played like ass.
And Suso is actually, I think, I can't remember the team, but he's been linked to the Premier League for like a mid-table team. I can't remember who it was.
Really?
He's a good player. With the guys around him right now, though, like no one looks good with that AC Milan team right now.
No, it's really bad. They're trash. I mean, it sucks. It must suck to be an AC Milan fan right now. How bad they're doing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Serie A is looking pretty interesting. Inter holding that first place spot with Juve close behind them. It should be interesting, though, this weekend. They're definitely
great games this weekend.
That Juve will definitely have to prove a point in this Roma game. They can't let up points. And Roma, obviously, are a good team, so they won't let up that easy.
Oh, yeah, Roma. Bring it home, baby. But, yeah, we'll give a nice Serie A segment next episode with Jerry. So it'll be nice to have another guest on the show. I'll let him have his insight. But that's pretty much it for the games. There's Farmers League if you want to watch that. But no Bundesliga yet, sad face. But we got some extra touches, or I do. Do you have any?
Yeah, I have one off the top of my head right now. So you know how we were talking about the MLS Combine before we went on here? So you remember that Jesus Perez kid you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So apparently before he got to the combine, he was on Tinder in Ireland or something like that. He was like on trial
This is hilarious.
And I don't know what happened with that. He supposedly got signed, so he put
Dundalk.
So he put on his Tinder profile like that he played for them.
Yeah.
And somehow whatever chick, you know, saw this and swiped right, like knew enough about Dongbong or whatever their name is to like leak it out, and everyone found out before the club even released it.
And then actually today, now he got drafted and he put something on Twitter, they got drafted, Dundalk quote tweeted it and saying, "Damn, so no Netflix and chill."
No way.
Yeah. So that is hilarious. Yeah, Dundalk in Ireland. Although I imagine MLS is both higher pay and higher quality than the Irish League, who there's some bad teams in the Irish League.
That's true.
I imagine 90% of the listeners don't know who Dundalk is.
No.
But yeah, Dundalk, he was there, I guess. He even put on his Tinder profile, so shit, you can't hide that shit anymore these days with the way media is. Fuck Tinder. Tinder fucking got him. It's crazy.
Dude, it's just funny how small, how that gets leaked around. And it's funny how, like, the chick who saw this was, like, new enough to, like, leak it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's funny all around. It was a funny story.
And it found its way to Twitter, as almost everything does. I've got a good one. Pretty one that'll kind of hit the heartstrings a little bit. A longtime Norwich City fan passed away at the age of 83. And he left the club £100 in his will so the players could have a drink on him.
Damn.
That's freaking awesome.
That's nice.
You love to see that. Barry Greaves, God rest his soul, left £100, so all the... They're going to need a drink. They're, you know, they're down there.
They do. But
all a drink on Barry Greaves, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a beast.
And then my second one I've got here actually comes from the MLS draft as well. Nashville Soccer Club, who inaugural season this year, expansion team, they had the number 2 pick in the draft. They picked Jack Mayer from Indiana University.
Okay.
Generation Adidas player, which means he gets more money, I think, than like the average rookie because he signs that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville's supporters group and their GM drove to, I guess this guy's from St. Louis. They drove to St. Louis, so all their supporters got on a bus and greeted him when he got picked. So I guess Nashville knew like they were going to pick this guy, it was kind of a mutual thing that everyone knew this behind the curtain almost. And they went and they greeted him as he put his hat, Nashville hat on and scarf on. They greeted him at his house, so that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It's the little things.
That's great. Yeah, it is the little things.
Even though I personally don't see much value in the MLS draft anymore due to college soccer being how it is. I think those things are still cool. Still be a thing, you know?
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah. And I think that's a fun thing about sports, though, is like those little things. And it's, I mean, not that this just happens in soccer. It happens in a bunch of sports. But the soccer community, man, they live and breathe it. You know, the people do. It's a part of their – it's not just like a hobby. It's like a main part of your life, and that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Like all these like little acts of kindness and all this different shit that happens. It just really, really makes you have faith in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So those little things. It's nice part about still having the draft around. I guess.
I agree. I have another one for you. We didn't talk about this in our in the actual episode, but Atletico Madrid beat Barca 3-2. In the League Cup.
Spanish Super Cup, I think it is. Didn't even know that was still a tournament.
I think Atletico scored 2 goals in the final 10 minutes to beat Barcelona. So,
and I actually saw something the last 3 times Atletico has beaten Barcelona, it's to knock them out.
Yeah, it's not, which is beast. And it's actually also beast that they scored 3 goals, which I didn't even think they had 3 goals in them. Atletico, they've been struggling for goals this past calendar season.
They scored 3.
They scored 3 against Barca.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it, man? Barca, though? Are they worse?
I don't know if they're legit, man.
I don't think they're legit either.
I think the whole fan base wants Valverde out, or that's his name,
right? I'm surprised he's still there.
I am, too. After the 2 debacles that they've had, getting knocked out in Champions League back-to-back years in the fashion that they have, I'm surprised he's still there, too.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like he hasn't done enough to really solidify his position there.
I kind of think part of it is that they don't know who is good enough to replace him with.
Yeah. There's just
that might be part of it. But yeah, he's still in a job.
I mean, Ancelotti was here. He could have coached Barcelona, right?
Yeah, they kind of missed that ship.
They kind of missed that ship. There's a decent. I mean, what, Allegri?
Yeah, maybe.
Allegri.
Seems like they like to stick with the Spanish close.
They do, yeah, but Jesus, Valverde.
Yeah, he's overdue to be gone.
Another fun fact for you. I just remember this. Did you see Tony Cruz's goal?
Yeah, he scored an Olympic goal.
He scored
today.
An Olympic goal. I think who Valencia, right? Valencia might have been Valencia, Sevilla.
One of those two.
The keeper was, I think, talking to the ref or something. He was arguing with the ref.
Yeah.
And Cruz like looks back and he just sees the goal open, so he just goes for it. He just pings it into the net. The keeper tries to stop it, but he blocks it into his own.
Even though the goalie wasn't ready, that's easier said than done.
It's not easy to do that. I mean, if it's in a game and with filled with like that many people, that's nuts. It was it reminded me of that quick corner that Trent Alexander-Arnold took against Barca. He just like saw and he's like, whoop. Bing.
Never forget that. That's something that fan base will never fucking forget for sure.
Nope.
I got a quick one. Not going to spend any time on it, but Tim Howard is the sporting director in the USL now.
Oh, nice.
I guess he's originally from Memphis. So Memphis's USL team, he's going to be the sporting director there. That's kind of cool. I think he's also a part owner, like an investor or something. So that's kind of cool. And then I don't know if you saw this video. I think this is the French League Cup, maybe. Or Farmers League, one of the two. Mbappe almost scored on a Rabona from the top of the 18-yard box.
I saw that.
And I think the goalie shit his pants for a second because that he was like kind of just like thinking it was going to go wide, and then
It curved,
and it was close.
Yeah. I mean, that was a ballsy move from him. And they were winning 6-1, obviously.
Yeah.
So he was just – I mean, he was – would you say it's a little disrespectful? Perhaps.
Dude, who cares?
Who cares, though? That would have gone in, though.
That would have been goal of the century.
You know, this is just solidifying that he does not belong in that league.
No, I really hope he goes somewhere so everyone else can enjoy him.
Yeah. I really want him to come to the Premier League. I want to be selfish. I just feel like what bigger stage than to perform
and
in the Premier
like
League?
And he's like 4 years younger than us. And he's doing these things.
Yeah, people forget
these
that
inexplicable
he's,
things.
People forget that
with
he's
the
only
football.
People forget he's what 20? He's not even 21 yet, is he?
No, I don't think so.
He's 20 years old. He can't even drink legally in the U.S. Ninja turtle looking ass. 20 years old and he's already like 91 rated in FIFA. Dude, if I was 91 rated in FIFA right now, I could probably honestly this might sound a little sad, but I could die happy. Honestly, if I was a 91 rated in FIFA.
You could live anywhere in the world off of his 1 year salary and like never have to work again.
Nope. No sir.
What was I gonna say? I was gonna say one more thing on that. Oh yeah. Probably most importantly, yeah, he's sick. Yeah, he's young. Yeah, he's got a ton of potential. He's also like pretty humble too. Like he's not He doesn't really he dresses super like ritzy and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but like
I mean
he still
gives
it seems like he's still like a pretty generous guy. Like he doesn't have too big of a head. Mm-hmm.
That'll get him far.
Yeah,
that'll get him far.
That's half the battle when you have all that success at a young age.
I mean,
carrying yourself well.
Oh yeah, definitely. And people like don't seem to really. I mean, people appreciate him, but people don't seem to appreciate him. Like they just take it for granted. And he's only 20 years old, and he's this good.
Yeah.
Like
you still have ten more years.
Who have you? This is like who have you seen that good at 20? Like I mean. I know Messi, maybe not even Ronaldo though.
No,
Ronaldo
I don't think Ronaldo was
Messi.
This good.
Messi was probably talented, but like
a different type of player.
But did he perform like that already at that age at this stage? I mean, he's 20 years old, and like winning World Cups, fucking
scoring in World Cup finals.
Scoring in World Cup finals, fucking. I mean, PSG haven't really done shit, but like in the Champions League. But he's like he's pretty much the poster boy for PSG right now.
Really, the only people who I could think of that were that good at that age. I mean, you could say Trent Alexander-Arnold as well, but different position.
Yeah.
But then Messi and Pele.
Yeah.
That's really it.
That's really it. Yeah, you don't really.
Because I think it's like Pele and Mbappe are the only teenagers to score in a World Cup final.
That's nuts.
So.
That's a big accolade.
Yeah. And Messi hasn't won a World Cup.
And I mean, how soon until he wins the Ballon d'Or?
Got to get on a better team.
That's If he was on a Real Madrid or like a top Premier League team,
and he was putting up those,
he's putting those numbers, he'd win Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
because he's that good. And like people don't understand. Like I know they do, but like they don't understand how young he actually is. Like he's not 27, 28. He's 20 years old. That's like if you just sit back to think about that, it's absurd.
I think And I think part of the reason why he's still at PSG is because, like,
so expensive.
His release clause is probably insurmountable.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely have to, like, if he wants to leave, he'll have to push the move.
Yeah, and I think he should, because if he wants to really... It's hard to say take the next step in his career because he's fucking won a World Cup already. Yeah, but, yeah. Like, if he wants to take his next step in his career on the club level and, like, has aspirations to win Ballon d'Or and all that stuff, he's going to have to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Farmers League is going to magically have to get better.
Or, yeah, the Farmers League have to get better, or he has to take this PSG team, or this PSG team has to be competing in Champions League, like, every year. Like,
yeah.
They need to be making semifinals, like, every year. Like, almost every year.
Yeah.
That's the only way, like, I would say, is if they're competing to that level every year. But if not, then...
Yeah, so we'll see what they do this year, and if they make a run, like, semifinals or something, maybe he stays.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think he's got to get out of there.
Should go, yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was the last extra touch I had. You got anything else?
No, that's it, man. That's it for me.
So that I think that'll do it for this episode. We're going to have a guest on next episode. Be on the lookout for that. Next week, I know you guys are probably thinking, whatever happened to our giveaway? We didn't get our Christmas giveaway. You know what? We were busy over the holidays and it didn't happen. We apologize. You guys deserve better. We're going to get that to you. Get that out. Hopefully next week. I got a lot going on this weekend, so hopefully next week or the week after that, we'll get that going for you.
Indeed.
Get another giveaway out. So be on the lookout for that. Go follow us on the Twittersphere. Go subscribe. Tell your friends, family, everybody. You know the drill. But other than that, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Peace.